in 2 John. If you don't know where that is, it's right after 1 John, right before 3 John. But if you need help, I would look in the table of contents. That's going to be the easiest way for you to find it. This is a letter that the apostle, so there's two Johns in the Bible. There's John the Baptist, who was not Southern Baptist, okay? He was just the one that baptized Jesus. And there's John the Apostle, who is the John that wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation, okay? He refers to himself in the Gospel of John as the disciple that Jesus loved, not as a boast, but as a way to be humble and not be calling his own name. Here he calls himself the elder, okay, for the same reason. He had been on the Isle of Patmos in exile, where he wrote the book of Revelation, but now, here in where he writes these letters, he is an elder at the church at Ephesus, where Timothy is a pastor, okay? That's a pretty good leadership team, I would say, okay? You got Timothy, and you got John, okay? Like they're that got some solid leadership there at the church at Ephesus. But that's where he is, and he writes this letter. We're going to read all 13 verses of it together, and then we'll walk through these things together. If you like to fill in blanks, here's your little card here. We'll do these as we go along. read this letter with me. He says, "The elder to the elect lady and her children." Okay, this elect lady and her children is just talking about the church, okay? He's saying this is the elder writing to the church. The elect lady is the church, okay? The children are the members of the church or the people of the church. Whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, okay, this is talking about the church, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. I told you this last week. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist, or against Christ, okay? Don't think antichrist here like the Left Behind series. Think like anyone who is against Christ is an antichrist, okay? This is not talking about a one particular person at the end of time, but rather all people who deny Jesus are antichrist here. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Hear that again. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister, that is the church at Ephesus, greet you. Okay, good word here. A lot going on. If you'd like to fill in blanks again, grab this right here. We'll walk through a few things together that I think are important here in this letter. The first thing he says to them in the first six verses is this, that he rejoices that they're walking in the truth. Okay, they're walking in the truth. And the first step to walking in the truth is believing the truth. Okay. There's a call here to believe the truth of the gospel, that we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God is raised from the dead so that he saves us. Okay, that is step one. Okay, this is talking about walking in the truth, not just believing it, although believing it is, you can't walk in it until you believe it. Okay, don't get the cart before the horse. We have to believe the truth so that we can walk in the truth, right? But here he's talking about them walking in the truth. They're living out this gospel truth together. What does it look like to walk in the truth? I think he gives them two things here, okay? Number one, he tells them that they're living in obedience to the truth of the gospel. What does that look like, okay? I think we complicate this sometimes, okay? Or we make it over-spiritual. Don't over-spiritualize this, okay? What does it look like to walk in the truth? Here's what it looks like. Husbands, it looks like you loving your wife like Christ loved the church. Wives, it looks like you loving your husbands, okay? It looks like you raising your children to know and follow Jesus. It looks like you loving your neighbor as yourself. It looks like you praying for those who are sick and are hurting. It looks like you just sharing the gospel when the Lord gives you opportunity with people. Right? Like living in obedience to the truth of the gospel. And for some, it's going to mean moving to Afghanistan and being a missionary. Yes, it is, okay? But the normal Christian experience for most of us is going to be this. You just loving and following Jesus in your everyday life, right? Like, not don't complicate that. Don't make that unattainable, like, oh, that's something for somebody else. No, it's for you. If you believe the truth, then you, step two, is you live in obedience to the truth of the gospel because you believe the truth. Right? Because you believe the truth, you just simply try to live out these truths that the Bible teaches us. That this is how, when the gospel of Jesus Christ changes a person's heart, then this is how we live. Not so that God would love us, but because he loves us. Right? They're living in obedience to the truth of the gospel. And the second thing he says here is that they're loving one another. They love one another. I kind of harped on this a little bit last week, I felt like. But, if you could boil John's letters down to one major commandment after following Jesus and loving Jesus, it's love one another. Just love each other, okay? Love each other in person. Love each other online. Love your neighbors as yourself. Love your crazy uncle as you love yourself, right? Love everyone that God puts in your midst. Love them, right? Love one another. It's what he tells them here, that we, at the end of verse 5, that we, he says, now, go back and read verse 5. I love the way he says it here. He says, and now I ask you, dear lady, okay, again, this dear lady thing over and over again is talking to the church. Not as though I'm writing you a new commandment, but what is one you've heard from the beginning, that you love one another. Why is it, okay, this is the kind of questions I ask when I read scriptures. Why is it, do you think, that John here, over and over and over again, like over and over again, he's going, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another. Why do you think he says this over and over again? I think he does it because they need to be reminded over and over again, right? Like you just love each other. Just love each other. Because it's hard to love each other sometimes. We don't want to love each other sometimes. And yet over and over again in these letters, John's just saying, hey, look, just love each other. If you want to know what walking in the truth looks like, it looks like living obedience to the truth of the gospel, and it looks like loving each other, right? If you want to be counted as one who is walking in obedience to the truth of the gospel, one who is walking in the truth, it means loving one another. Look at Colossians 2. He says this, therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Paul carries the same theme that John carries, that there's those who have received Jesus, who've believed in the gospel, then walk in him. There's a kind of step two here. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And he says in John 13, 34 and 35, I used these verses last week. I could probably use them every week. Jesus says, a new commandment that I give you, that you, what? Love one another, which is not a new commandment at all. But here's how it's new. As I have loved you, you also should love one another. And then he says, by this all people will know that you're my disciples. How are they going to know that we are Christians? How are they going to know that we're following Jesus? The world would tell you a million different things, okay? Even some pastors would tell you different things or how people could know that you're a disciple of Jesus. But what Jesus says is, here's how people can know that you're following me. If you love each other, right? That's how important this is. He rejoices in those who are walking in the truth. Number two, okay? John tells them to watch out for deceivers who distort Jesus. Watch out. Be careful of people who distort Jesus. Look back at verse, let's read verses 7 to 9 here. He says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. And this is probably AD 80, okay? AD 80. So think about how long ago this was, okay? How quickly after Jesus this was. And here we are 2,000 years later. You don't think this is still happening? Many deceivers have gone on in the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. That is the incarnation of Christ. It didn't actually come. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves We're never going to stop deceivers from going out into the world. We can't stop that. But what we can do is what he tells here. Watch yourselves, right? So that you may not lose what we have worked for, may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. He's calling them out to watch out for those who would distort Jesus. These are deceivers who are denying the incarnation of Christ, that he didn't come in the flesh. And it's really important that we guard against this, okay? It's this, Bradley and I have been joking, I don't know that it's a joke, we might do it, about doing a midweek that we entitled TikTok Jesus, okay? Because of the number of people that we deal with on a regular basis that are on the verge of shipwrecking their faith because of some moron on TikTok that has a following, that is causing people to, he's distorting the gospel or she's distorting the gospel, and they're doom scrolling in their bed at midnight. You know what I mean? Like people that can't go to sleep, so they're being deceived by the truth, from the truth of the gospel, by deceivers who would distort the teachings of Jesus. And look, how false teachers do this. I saw this week. I thought it was really good. And it was kind of out of the blue. I saw a guy say that the danger of false teachers is they use the same vocabulary as us, but they have a different dictionary than us. Right? I thought it was really good. That was helpful. I wish I'd said it, but I'm not smart enough to say stuff like that, so I have to quote people, okay? It says these false teachers, I'll say it again, they use the same vocabulary as us, but they have a different dictionary than us. So we have to be careful of them. We have to be careful of those who would distort Jesus. And how are you and I, just normal everyday people, how are we going to guard against that? It's really important that you and I know God's word well. Okay, and this is one of the reasons we teach God's word here, try to do verse by verse and try to do it as clearly and accurately as possible to help us know these things, to help us to guard against these things. When we do that, we can know the right things to believe, okay? How am I going to know what's wrong? I have to know what's right. You know, the whole thing about a counterfeit. How do you spot it? The way they teach people to spot a counterfeit is not to learn all the different counterfeits. It's to know the original. When you know the original, like when you know what a $100 bill looks like, if you know the intricacies of a $100 bill, then you can spot a counterfeit no matter what the counterfeit is. You and I, how are we gonna guard against the TikTok deceivers? Here's how you're gonna guard against it. You know this, right? Like when I know this book and I hear somebody saying something stupid online, I can go, that's not true. How do I know that's not true? Well, because this says this, and that's against what this says. So if this is true, and it is, then I can know all the other things that are false by knowing this well. Right? I'm never going to be able to know all the different deceivers. There's been deceivers deceiving the church since John wrote this letter in AD 80, right? They've been trying to deceive the church the whole time. The way we guard against that is to know the right things to believe, and that is to know God's word. When we do that, it'll help us, number two, avoid false teachings. It's easy to get caught up in, you know, and I think there are people that have good intentions in this, but they'll listen to false teachings as if to learn it so they can guard against it. And hear what I would say to you: don't do that. You see false teachings, stay away from it. Just read your Bible. I remember sitting down across from a college girl a few years ago at Heritage House, and she was reading this book that had scrambled her brains. Okay. It had scrambled her brains, and it was false teaching. And she was wanting, she had gone through it, and she had underlined stuff, and she had written question marks out beside stuff, and she was wanting to, we're sitting down to talk about it. And about 20 minutes into the conversation, I said, hey, can I do you a favor? And she said, yeah. And I grabbed the book, and I took it away from her, and I set it down, and I picked my Bible up, and I went, take this. Let's stop worrying about what false teachers say, okay? They're false teachers. Avoid that. Stay away from that. Don't try to guard against that. Avoid it. Stay away from it. Instead, let's just focus on reading our Bibles, right? Like, if we could focus on reading our Bible and understanding what it has to say to us, I think we would come out way better. And that's what he tells them here. He tells them here to watch out for them. Stay away from them. This is not gonna do you any good. It's actually dangerous for you to do this because it could steal from you, as the Bible talks about many times. It could shipwreck your faith. We don't want to shipwreck our faith, right? So how do we do that? We need to avoid these false teachings that those would come. And the last thing we need to do is we need to call out those who try to deceive other Christians. Call it out. Like, you see false teachings, you go, no, that's not right. Wrong. I love doing that. People come up to me and they're like, I saw this guy on TikTok and he said this. And I'm like, nah, that's not true. Call it out when you see it. When we see things that are not true about Jesus, we need to call that out because we want to help other Christians not be deceived. It is a heartbreaking thing to see people, to watch people that you thought were following Jesus shipwreck their faith because of something, some kind of false teaching that has led them astray. We need to call out. That's what he says here. He says, have nothing to do with them. Don't play with this. Don't act like this is not a big deal. It's a big deal, and we should be careful that we don't go ahead. Look up at verse 9. I think this is good. We have time for this, I promise, okay? I'm going to get you out on time. He talks on about, in verse 9, about people that go on ahead of the teaching of Christ. Like they're out in front of their skis, if you will. These are people that have tried, and this is a danger for any of us. We have to help each other not do this. There are people that would lead you to move on from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you right now, by God's grace, with your help, with the help of our elders, we're not going to do that here at Capstone Church. We're never going to move on from the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to try to go deeper into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? We don't want to ever move on from it. These are people that have gone on ahead. They're trying to move on from the teachings of Christ, and we don't want to do that because John says, when you do that, these people that have moved on from Christ have moved away from God. Right? That's what he's saying here. Those who have moved on from Christ have walked away from the gospel. They don't have God. They don't have the Son. So don't do that. Stay away from that and call out those who do, right? Next point. Don't just call them out, he says. Verses 10 and 11, he says, do not fellowship with people that deny the truth. Do not fellowship with people who deny the truth. Look at verses 10 and 11. He says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Think Mormons. Okay? Think Jehovah's Witnesses. I had a professor in college one time say, if you'll go to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints website and ask them for a Bible, they will send you one. And if you look closely, attached to that Bible will be two Mormon missionaries at your front door, okay? They will hand deliver it to your house. And look, I've done it, okay, and I'm equipped to do it. I've read 10,000 pages on Mormons, okay. I love talking to Mormons. Mormons believe a false gospel. Okay, they believe that God used to be a man. As God is man, as man is God once was, as man God is man can become. They believe that you and I, if we will follow the Mormon teaching, that you can be the God of your own planet one day. And that you can populate that planet with all your spirit wives, okay? That's what you can, men, that is, women, sorry. But they believe a false gospel, okay? They don't believe the gospel that you believe. And so you know what you should do? You should not do what I did, okay? Which was invite them into my home and get Jenny to bake them cookies because they're not supposed to have caffeine, but chocolate has a little bit of caffeine in it, so I serve them chocolate chip cookies because I'm that petty, okay, as a person. I know, you're going to want to find a new church in 2026. That's how petty I am, okay? Don't do that. Avoid them, okay? You should avoid them. When the Jehovah's Witnesses show up with the Watchtower magazine, you should, if you want to take it, you should take it, okay? You know what you should do with it? Throw it in the trash can, okay? Ask them how many copies they have, take all of them, and throw them in the trash can. That's what John's telling them here. Do not receive them into your house or give them any greeting. Do not, if you allow false teachers into your home, you're inviting destruction. That's what he's saying here, okay? You're inviting, we're hospitable people, and that's good to be hospitable. But it's not more important to be hospitable than it is to hold on to the truth, right? Like, hospitality is important, but it's not more important than the truth. And so you should avoid such things. You should just avoid it, okay? If you're not equipped, if you don't have the ability to have a real conversation with these false teachers, you should avoid them, okay? You should absolutely avoid them. I haven't had a Mormon come to my house in over a decade, okay? Because the last time they came, I'm sure I got a big X on my house after that, because I know what they believe, and I can have a conversation with them about what they believe. I know what they believe more than some of these Mormon missionaries know they believe, right? So they ain't coming to my house anymore, and good, okay? Good. I mean, if they do, I'll talk to them. But again, I'm in a little different situation because I've spent a lot of time studying what they believe. If you don't have a good knowledge of both the gospel and the false teaching they believe, you should avoid it completely, okay? Jesus says this in Matthew 7. He says, beware or be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. You should beware of false prophets. And then lastly, okay, last point is this. Real relationships with fellow believers helps us find real joy in life. Look back at verses 12 and 13. John says, though I have much to write to you, I'd rather not. I'd rather not write it to you. Instead, I want to come talk to you face to face, that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. I love that John's like, you know what? I got a lot of more things I want to say to you, but I can't wait to see you. Okay, I want to see you. I want to be with you because I love you, and you love me, and we want to have this relationship with each other. You know, I would just say to you, I would if you want to make a New Year's resolution. You know what I would encourage you to resolve to? Being with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Like making, not just worship, even though worship isn't step number one, but making church, making worship, making your community group a priority in your life over other things. That being with fellow believers is not something you would do when you have nothing else to do. But it would be something that you plan around. Right, like I'm going to plan around being with my brothers and sisters in Christ because this is important. It's important enough that John says, you know, I could just send you an email, but I'm going to come see you instead because I want to be with you. There's joy here, right? He says, I'm going to come to you. I want to talk to you face to face so that our joy may be complete. There's something special, right, about being with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know in our online world, in our individualistic society that we live in, we devalue this completely, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't. There's something special about being together. And I remember, you're right here, Miss Donna. I'm going to talk about you for a second. Is that okay? You made me cry one day. And during COVID, we'd all been, you remember the time. It was silly. And we were gone. People weren't coming. And it was right to do that. I get it, all that stuff. And the first Sunday, Miss Donna came back. She came up to me, and you gave me a hug. And you said, I appreciate the online service, but there's nothing like being in the room worshiping with God's people. And I'm going to cry now thinking about it. It was so meaningful to me when you said that because it encapsulated how I think a lot of us felt in that time. It was good that we could do the online thing, but it was a counterfeit, right? It was fool's gold in comparison with being with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I would just encourage you, like, don't lose that. Don't lose that in your hearts. Don't lose that in your mind. There's a kind of joy that comes from being with the people of God that we should not set aside for other things. I think that's what John's saying here. I mean, if I could encourage you towards something in 2026, it'd be towards that, right? That we would commit to each other. That this matters, okay? And it doesn't matter so that we can say we had X number of people at church. We don't care about that. It matters because it's good for our souls. When I hear you sing, "When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace." Like, I might be in a bad spot, and I hear you singing that, and the Lord uses it in my heart to go, oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, I need to be remembering those things. I think that's what John is telling them here. So, look, I don't know how this whole sermon hits you, how this letter hits you, but however it hits you, I pray that you would respond to it in faith. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I pray you would trust him. And if you do know him, I pray that his word would grow in your heart and help you to trust him even more. Let's pray together. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your church. I'm grateful to be together. And, Lord, I do pray that these things that we've been looking at this morning, we would help each other to walk in the truth, to walk in obedience, to follow Jesus better, and not in some kind of weird thing, but just simply follow Jesus in the day-to-day parts of our life. God, I pray that we could help each other watch out for those who would distort the truth, God, be it in community or here in church or wherever, but God, we would help each other. We would stay away from those deceivers. We would avoid them. We would call it out. We wouldn't fellowship with those that deny the truth. God, help us to do that. And help us to do this as we love one another. God, I'm grateful for your word. I'm grateful for this time of worship together. And I pray that as we continue to worship you now through communion, that you would speak to us and show us your great love for us. In Christ's name, amen.